Let's read chapter 9 of St. Matthew's.
And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. You know, when you think about the new wine going into old bottles, you know, I've said this quite a number of times in speaking on this. Bottles that they had years ago were made of skin. And the skin bottles, when the oil is gone out of the bottles, then they won't give anymore. They become hard and crisp. And they don't have any give to them. So when you put wine into the skin bottles, it ferments, it pushes, it goes in whatever direction, you know, that the stimulation moves toward. And then when it has stretched to the full extent, it stops. And then it freezes in that position, almost like a plaster Paris. And then after that, if you go to use the bottle again, you have to put old wine in it. You can't put new wine in old bottles. See, because those bottles have become solid, crisp, no flexibility. They won't give. And if you put the new wine into the old bottles, it will just break the bottle. As the wine begins to stretch itself, as we say, it will pop the bottle. And then when the bottle is broken, the wine is spilled. So Jesus gave his parable. He said, folks, he said, you can't put new wine into old bottles. The reason he said that is because he was saying these people are of Moses. They come up under the old move. They come up under the law. And these people are molded to the desire of Moses and of the elders and of the traditions of the elders. And he said, these are old bottles. He said, and this thing that I'm doing is a new thing. God said, I'll do a new thing. And he said, this thing that I'm doing is a new thing. And if this is a new thing, he said, you can't put it into old bottles. So there's no way you can put it into old bottles. He said, if you pour it into the old bottles, you'll break the bottle and the wine will perish. So then you can't put this new wine into old bottles. This is why a lot of times some of you brothers and sisters, you go to testify to somebody and you go to tell them about something, like the case down here in Houston, Texas. They went to tell them about this new thing that God was doing. But they found out those people were old bottles. And every time they tried to pour wine into that old bottle, they just found a crack. It just leaked out. It wouldn't take. And they found out that this new thing that they was trying to share with those by putting it into old bottles only stirred those people up just to come back at them and cause them problems. And they could not receive the new thing that God was doing because they've been molded to the old way of life. And to them, that is the set way of life, and that's the sure way of life. And they feel that they've proven that way of life, and they don't want you to bother with them because they have a congregation, a lot of them, that follows after that order of life, and it is a financial gain to them. It is of monetary value to them. It is a social benefit to them. And they don't want you bothering with it because it took them a long time to mold a thing and to get it into that kind of condition. And that's why God keeps moving on. God's always moving on. You know, a lot of you people get to be old bottles. That is to say, you can't get out of the old, they used to call it the old cranky way of life. You can't get your mind out of the gutters of the gullible desire of the natural things of this world. You still have the love of the flesh. You still have the desire for the things of the world. You still have your ideology. You still have your feelings and your programs. And you programmed yourself to do what you want to do whenever you get ready and to go where you want to. You know, it's like I said over in the late evening, a lot of people say, I've got a leading to go over here, Brother Pike. I've got a leading to do this. And I feel that God wants me to do that. And the Lord told me to do this. And God hasn't told them anything. But the mere fact that they feel good about it, they do it. It's like a man that goes hunting or fishing. He goes hunting and fishing because he feels good about it. See, he wants to do it. And when he gives into it, he feels real good about it. So then he could say, the Lord told me to go hunting. The Lord told me to go fishing. Say, how do you know? He said, I feel real good about it. You know, the same way with a hungry man when he wants to eat. He can say, the Lord told me that I need to go eat. How do you know? So I feel real good about it, you know. And that's the way that the world is. They go by their feelings. The Bible teaches that that's how that Esau lost his birthright. And how that Isaac gave away the birthright to the wrong person. By going by feelings. That's why a lot of people don't serve God with real enthusiasm. And they don't really get up and do anything for God. It's because they go by their feelings. They say, I don't feel like going to church tonight. I don't feel good, somebody says. You know, what if you'd done that about your job? If you didn't go on your job, you didn't feel like going on your job. How many of us working on a job through the years have had to get up to go when we were sick? When we didn't feel like it, when we could have done anything but go to work. But we went to work. And how many of us ever put our job off to go hunting, to go fishing, or to do the things of the world? We've done that after we've done our job, isn't that right? Putting first things first, seeking God, and then letting God add to us whatever God would have us to have. So then we find that people don't serve God because they're old bottles. They're old bottles. You can't get nothing new into them. You say, hey, look, Jesus doesn't want you to do that. God isn't interested in what you're doing. Oh, they say, I believe it like this. I've been doing it for years. I know brother so-and-so and he done it. And I can tell you about a man and he done it. You know, and off they go again. And you spilled all of your wine if you tried to pour it in there. So see, you can't put new wine into old bottles. You've got to go on from where grandma was. And you got to go on from where grandpa was. And you've got to go on from where daddy and mother was. And you've got to go on into the new thing that God's doing. He said, I'll do a new thing. And the Bible said that God's mercies are new every day. So you've got to go on into a new thing. You can't ever stop. You've got to keep going. See, you've got to go on with God into the new thing. And if you're not going to be an old bottle, you've got to go on into the new things of God. It's like a vision I had the other night. A man come to me in the vision. He wanted me to bless what he was doing. So I thought, well, I'll bless it if I can. And he's a great, outstanding evangelist, one of our leading evangelists. So he come to me and he wanted me to bless this thing he had as though it was a song. And it was an old song and he wanted me to bless it.
And I thought, well, how can I do that? So I took the song, I thought, how can I bless this song for this man? It was to bless him as to bless the song. And I thought, how can I do this? And I thought, well, I'll try and see what I can do. And so I took the old song, and as I began to bless it, it turned into a new song. And I found myself singing a new song. And he just sat there staring at me, looking at me, you know, as if to say, what happened to my old song? And why? Where did you get this? Where did this come from? I don't remember any words like that. And that was his attitude. And I was standing there singing, and I didn't have nothing to look at. I didn't have nothing to read. I didn't know nothing about that song that I was singing to the extent that it was a new song. But it just come out of my innermost being. It was a new song. See, God doing a new thing. Isn't that right? God doing a new thing. God wants to do a new thing. He wants us to let him do a new thing in our heart. God is brand new every day. God's always doing a new thing. God doesn't grow old. God never retires. God never gets tired. God's always doing a new thing. Always he's doing a new thing. And he wants people that will be brand new every day that will go on with him. Like a little baby that's born into the world, we call him brand spanking new. So then God wants something new. He doesn't like to go back to old things over and over. He has old things. He appreciates those things. But God's ever new. The Bible said a good man brings out of his treasure both old and new. If you're just bringing old out of your treasure, that means you're an old bottle. So then I like to be brand new with God. I like to wake up in the morning and be brand new with God. Every day of my life, I wake up to be brand new with God. I wake up and I think, Lord, what is it you're going to tell me today? I know it's going to be an exciting day. I know you're going to do something exciting. I'm just eager to know what you're going to tell me. And I'll sit around like today when Betty went off up there to see Danny. I was sitting around the house by myself. Hard to do that. You know the doorbell rings so much. But I was sitting there and I was just thinking. I thought, Lord, tell me something. Lord, speak to me. Lord, say something. Lord, communicate with me. You know, because I love to talk with God. I love to talk with God. Maybe you don't get any excitement out of that, you know, but I love to talk with God. So then I say, Lord, do something for me. Lord, do something. Let me do something new, Father. Be with me and help me and make this day a brand new day and an exciting day for me. And that's the way it is with me. It's an exciting day. And every night, it's an exciting night with me. When I get ready to go home, I think this is going to be an exciting night tonight. Though I'm tired sometimes and I'm weary sometimes, but I thank God this is going to be an exciting night to me because I'm going to get in touch with God and I'm going to hear God say something and I'm going to get something from God and I'm going to get some things straightened out in my mind as to the way I feel about God and the way he feels about me and what his will is for humanity. You know, the most exciting thing I know of is to serve the Lord Jesus. And that is to say that whatever I do, I do it with all my heart for the Lord. Is there anything more rewarding than serving God? Is there anything better than serving God? Is there anything at all more to be desired than serving God? Isn't serving God the chief thing? Isn't that the greatest thing? Isn't that the best thing? Is there anything else that you could do that would even compare with serving God? There's nothing. See, so then I don't want to be an old bottle. I want the new wine, and every day it's poured into me. The new wine is poured into me. And there's hardly a day goes by, but what I don't get something brand new from God. Growing in the knowledge and growing in the grace of God, growing in the revelation of God, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. The reason a lot of you don't get anything from God is because you let the outer man take the preeminence. Instead of the inner man, instead of feeding the inner man, then you let the outer man take the preeminence. And the outer man, you satisfy. Everything is to satisfy him. Every little whimper, every little whine that he has, every little thing that he wants to do, wherever he wants to go, whatever it is, you feed him, you nourish him, you take him everywhere, you do everything with him. See, and you don't have any time for the Spirit. You don't have any time for God. You don't have any time to do the new things or find out about the new things. You're too involved in the old things because you're an old bottle. And if somebody comes around trying to put a little something new in you, you just crack up. You break up. You can't take it. You won't have it. You know, as far as you're concerned, it's false doctrine. It's a cult. It isn't right. I won't have it. That's not the way it is. And you start like an old buzzard, picking and pecking until you pick it all to pieces. That means that we can be an old bottle all of our life. All of our life we can be an old bottle. I come here night after night, and I want to share something new with you. But it's a true fact that in most cases, I always wind up just kind of reviewing what we've been over or talking to you about something that I've already talked to you about, because there's no hunger, there's no thirst. We come to church, we are a good audience. You're a good audience. Used to, I had a lot of trouble with my audience. All kind of devils and demons. And of course, there's still devils and demons out there. But I had all kind of trouble with my audience. And one would pop up over here and one would pop up over there, and I'd have to rebuke them. And finally, we got the audience straightened out with the help of the Lord to where the audience isn't like that anymore. See, but the audience still doesn't have any hunger. Still doesn't have any thirst. Still is not fasting, praying, searching, looking for God, looking for the things of God. That's the way the audience is. And see, not only the audience here, but the audience around the world is in the same condition. Laodicean, religiously lukewarm, but God said neither hot nor cold. They're religious. The whole world is becoming religious. See, there has been in the past a hot people and a cold people. A people that were sinners. A cold person means somebody that doesn't know anything about God. It doesn't mean somebody that knows about God and won't serve God, that just says, well, I ain't going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to go back out in the world myself. You know, I ain't going to be half in and half out. I know I'm going to die and go to hell. I know I'm supposed to serve God, but I'm just going on out there and getting in the mud hole with the hogs, you know. And I'm just going to be cold myself. See, that shows how ignorant you are. You cannot be cold like that. How could you be cold? You know about God. You know the right way to go. You know what you're supposed to do. You can't do that. There's no possible way you can do that. A cold person is somebody that doesn't know about God, that doesn't know about salvation. They know there is a God. They've heard there is a God, but they don't know nothing about God. One time in my life, I was cold. I knew nothing about God, other than I knew that there was a God. But I'd never learned about His ways or anything about Him at all. So I didn't know anything about God. See, I was cold. But folks, when I came to Christ, then I became hot. I began to press in to be fervent in the Spirit of God and to get into the things of God and want to fast and want to pray and want to study and want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus and want to get into the things of God. See, that's the way I begin to do when I come into the Lord. When you are the other way, you are lukewarm. And the Bible said God will spew you out of His mouth. When you are in the condition as to know about God and won't serve God, and you know what it takes to please God, and you won't do the things to please God, then that means that you are in a condition to be spewed out of God's mouth. And that's why a lot of you wind up out there in the world the way you do, talking about not being hot, so you're just going to be cold. See, the Bible said all of the tables of God are filled with vomit. And the reason for it is because people have been spewed out of God's mouth and they are lukewarm. And that's called vomit with God. He spews them out of His mouth and the whole church world is filled. The benches are filled with that which God has spewed out of His mouth. So then it means that you and I, if we're going to be a new bottle, we're going to have to get in there with God and go through the changes with God and keep moving with God and doing the things that's pleasing to God. Otherwise, we're just going to be an old bottle, and we're just going to crack up. Every time somebody tries to give us something new, we're just going to break up, and all is going to be lost. The Bible said not to cast your pearls before swines, lest they trample them under their feet, and then turn and rend you. So then Jesus said to them, you cannot put new wine into old bottles. As He talked to them, just like I'm talking to you tonight, Jesus was a man. He talked to them. Maybe He didn't raise His voice as much as I'm raising mine tonight, and there was times when He did raise His voice. But see, Jesus simply said to them, you can't put new wine into old bottles. And they had disputed with Him, you know. And every time God wanted to do something, begin to speak through the Lord Jesus, all of a sudden here would come a Pharisee and a scribe, and they'd say, Master, what about this? And the and the scripture says such and such, Master. And Jesus said, you hypocrite, you can't put new wine into old bottles. You can't put new wine into old bottles. That's what's wrong with some of you at Bethlehem. You can't get this new thing into you. Your mind is filled as though a man had a sack full of rocks. Your mind is filled with gossip and backbiting and the gullible desire of the flesh and fault finding and jealousy and evil surmisings and all of these things with the lust of the flesh and to the things of the world, the love of the world. The Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. You can't put them both in there. Some of you are determined that you're going to put the love of the world inside of you and still get the love of God in there. But I tell you, you'll never get the love of God in there. The Bible said if the love of the world's in there, the love of the Father will not go in there. See, light and darkness hath no fellowship. You'll never get light into that dark heart of yours. Never. See, because light and darkness will not mix. You'll never mix the world with light. That's what they're trying to do out there. See, some of the churches, some of the preachers, some of the congregation, they say, well, we've got God. We've got a great move going, especially among the charismatic people. We've got a great move going, they say. We've got a great move going. And this great move is the move of God. And God has allowed us to drink a little bit and curse a little bit and smoke a little bit and gossip a little bit and cheat a little bit and switch wives a little bit. But we've got a great thing going, they say, even to the extent that if my wife doesn't fit me, then I'm sure that there's another one that will. And there is for sure another rib somewhere, as the rib message they've got, you know. That if she's not the right rib, I'll get another one. And as it was said the other day when Sister Walker was talking to us, she said, you know, said some of my parents have been leaders in the Assemblies of God, and said it was never in the Assemblies that you could change wives. Said, but now it is. Said, you can just find you another wife. If the one you've got isn't suitable, then they say that there is another one that will be more suitable for your purpose and for you. And so they just switch around. So then they've got them a new discipline, a new doctrine, if that be the case. Not the Bible. See, there's only one excuse in the Bible for putting your wife away. Only one reason, and any other reason, then you're in violation of the Holy Scriptures. So then that means they've got them a new doctrine. They've got them something new going. You cannot put new wine into old bottles. There's no way. The bottle will break and the wine will perish. All that you have will be lost because you tried to put the new wine into the old bottle. So tonight, let's be new bottles. Let's be brand new for God. Let's get all of this stuff out of us. Let's get all of this corruption out of us. Let's get all of the worldly love and the worldly desire out of us. Let's quit trying to go around prophesying, speaking to somebody, telling somebody something, trying to make ourselves a prophet or some kind of prophetess or some kind of great person or some kind of great leader. And let's get sober and let's get sensible. And let's quit the foolishness. Let's stop the folly. Let's stop the division. Let's stop causing the problem. Let's stop being a troublemaker. And let's get in and learn the Word of God and love the Word of God and walk in the Word of God and live in the Word of God and do something for God. That's okay if you don't want to do that. You know, you can find you another church. Go somewhere else. Because you'll be miserable in this church. If you come to this church and I preach going on with God and doing something for God, you're going to be a miserable person because you're always going to hold on to the old and you're going to be looking back into Egypt and what you've got instead of what you could have had. Always looking back on what you've got instead of what you could have had or what you can have for Christ. See, and always looking back on your problems and your worries and your thoughts. Always looking back on those things that trouble your mind instead of washing all that garbage out. And looking forward to something that's holy and godly and exciting. Something that you can explore. Something that you've never seen before. Something that you've never felt before. Something that you've never known before. Looking forward to those things, forgetting about what you think you are, begin to consider what He is. You know, you think you're something, but if you just consider what He is, then He'd make a brand new person out of you. Stop being lazy. Stop being shiftless. Stop being an old gossiper. Stop being an old busybody. Stop being an old backbiter. The Bible said the backbiter shall not stand in the holy hill of God. Stop doing the things that you're doing. Get away from your melancholiness and your foolishness. Stop being a child and grow up and be a man for a chance in your life. Let us go on, the Bible said, to perfection. Not turning again with excuses. Always excuses, like a song we wrote when we was in Poto, Oklahoma, I believe it was. Excuses, excuses. Oh, what will you do when you stand there on that day? See, excuses. Why make excuses? It's just a true fact that light and darkness don't mix. It's just a true fact that you can't put new wine into old bottles. It is a true fact that if the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not there. And when I come here with the new things, I find with a regularity that many of you are old bottles. And I find out that with a regularity, there's no hunger, there's no thirst for spiritual things. Not any at all. I come here and in the entire church, I can hardly find one man or one woman that really genuinely has the hunger and thirst for spiritual things. I find people that want to know about new things, and they like to know about the invisible, and they like to know about the mysteries of God. Oh, they'd like to do that. But so far as having a genuine spiritual inward desire for heavenly things and holy things and conforming to the royalty of God, they don't have it. So far as having a spiritual thirst, a spiritual hunger, they don't have it. They don't have a spiritual thirst. They don't have a spiritual hunger. They're not making spiritual efforts towards spiritual things. As far as they're concerned, God is just as carnal as they are. And God is just as natural as they are. And they're looking for a natural world to continue on in it with a natural life. And they're planning to continue on with a natural God and have a natural good time and naturally eat and drink and have a natural time in the world as they've always had. Always the same kind of life. God isn't going to do that, folks. He isn't going to do that. I tell you, it's another world. It's another life. It's another kind of spirit. It's another kind of thinking. It's another kind of hunger. It's another kind of thirst. It's another kind of desire. Altogether different. And to even get into that world, you have to be born into it. And so then that means that in this Laodicean church age, lukewarm, see, feeling like they're Christians, feeling like they're rich, they have need of nothing. They're making no effort because they don't feel like they need to make an effort. They feel like they are a child of God, and they feel like they're on their way to heaven, so they don't feel like they need to make any effort. It doesn't matter what you tell them. It's going to change your mind. Because I'm still a Christian. You know, it comes back to my mind again. I wasn't going to say anything about it, but I guess maybe the Lord wants me to. Like somebody come to me just recently. I said, well, don't think I'll go this way any longer. I said, no, no. He said, I want you to forgive me. I said, well, forgive you? But I want you to forgive me because I know I ain't done right. I said, well, it's okay with me. You know, I forgive you. Lord, forgive you. I forgive you. But I want you to forgive me because I ain't got in here and done my job. He said, you going to forgive me? I said, yeah, I forgive you. He said, now I want you to forgive me because I know I ain't helped you carry the finances. Ain't done nothing along those lines much to do anything for God. He said, I want you to forgive me. I said, well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you're forgiven. And said, I won't be going this way no more. I said, you won't? I stood there, you know, and I thought, oh my God, if I didn't have some sense of understanding, if I didn't have Christ, I'd be so confused I wouldn't know which way to go. Because the man is as unstable as water, up and down and in and out and double-minded and one day this way and one day that way. And I thought, you know, like I expressed to some of the brethren today, if I come over to your place and I said, look, I killed your cat, but I want you to forgive me. And I killed your dog, and I want you to forgive me. And tomorrow I'm planning to kill your cow, and I want you to forgive me because I still want to be buddies with you. You know, I think, my God, how can anybody do such an ignorant thing? You know, you come and say, Lord, I ain't never going to serve you no more. Never, but I want you to forgive me. I want you to go to heaven. And this person said, I'm still working with you now. I'm still working with you now. We're still friends. We're still neighbors. And I thought, Lord, how ignorant can people get? How foolish can a man get to do something this year knowing that it's wrong, and then you forgive him and God forgives him, and next year he does the same thing. He knows it's wrong again. He wants forgiveness again so that he can do it the next year, so that he can get forgiveness for the next year, that he might do it the next year. And then to think that God is going to tolerate that, and to think that God's going to go along with that, and to think that every time you whimper and whine before God, that God is going to hear you. Like I said the other night, he said, though you cry loud, he said, I won't hear you. See, and people that get into this kind of rut, that they go back to the television shows today, and tomorrow they're back to the television shows again, and the next day they're back again, and they're saying, oh Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive me. They go out to the hog wallet today, and they go out to the hog wallet tomorrow, and they go out to the hog wallet the next day. And every day they're begging, God, forgive me. God, have mercy. And then they come back and they say, well, praise God, it worked. God had mercy. You say, well, do you believe he did, Brother Pike? He sure did. As long as there is a day of grace, as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, you're going to get by with it to some extent. You're going to slip right on by. Mercy is going to follow you. But brothers and sisters, it's going to come a day when you're going to override the mercy, or God's going to take the mercy, the blood off the seat of atonement and the mercy away from you. And everything that you ever done in your entire life, down to the very thoughts that you thought, the Bible said you're going to be brought into subjection before God as to the judgment, to give an account as to what he has to say about it, even to the intents of your heart. Paul said, being judged by this gospel that I preach, you'll be brought into subjection to the orders and ways of God, to be brought before the judgment of Christ, and he will examine your heart to see what you've been thinking all down through your life. And you'll give an account to God for every thought that you ever thought during your entire life. So then, this is why that we stress the point the way we do. And this is why that we say what we do about the things of God. To let us go on and let us be a new bottle. Let us be a brand new bottle. And let us get filled up with the wine of God. The Bible said, and he'll make your presses to burst out with the new wine. With the new wine. Tonight, I had some things in Revelation tonight I wanted to say. But I didn't feel any hunger at all, any thirst. Any enthusiasm, any drive, any desire to be about the master's business. So, there's nothing that I can say toward it, because for the anointing to work, to bring those things forth, there has to be a hunger and a thirst. Those things, the Bible said, in the meat is for the strong. This belongs to them that have exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. They that have exercised their senses as to be able to discern between good and evil. The meat being for the strong. So then, that's the way it is, folks. The strong gets these wonderful things, and the others don't. It's like a brother was telling me today, there is a brother here, one of the brethren out of Texas. This brother said, you know, said, I was literally shocked when I heard that brother talk at the things that he was talking about. See, because we look on people as little babes, you know. But the thing is, a lot of times a brother has applied himself. And maybe a brother has asked questions. And maybe a brother spent hours upon hours of listening and talking and meditating and praying and trying to understand the revelation of the Son of God. While we spend our time to the flesh, doing the things of the world, going where we want to go, being what we want to be. See, we spend our time doing that. And then, as the brother said, it is literally shocking to find out that people are just going at great speed and bypassing brethren that are here at Bethlehem, you know, just by coming and visiting and getting phone calls and talking and whatever and going right on past them. See, it's like the prodigal that came in. It was like it was said, you had a fatted calf all the time. You could have had a jubilee any time. You could have done anything that you wanted to. But you never was interested enough in it. You never was interested enough. You know, just to settle down and kind of, well, David used the terms lollygag along. Says Bucky used to use the terms lollygag, whatever that means. You know, just to kind of go along doing nothing. Kind of drift along. That's what you do. And because of that, you failed to get that wonderful pearl of great price. Others find it. They leave their hometown. They sell all they've got. And they search it out because they go after it. All right, I just want to say them few things to you tonight. I ain't going to use the terms a preacher uses about dry. I'd probably think I was one of the driest ones of them, the way I drank water. But things are mighty dry tonight. Got a lot of rain outside. The Lord's answering prayer. But I noticed in my meeting at Cherokee, I reprove the people of Bethlehem because I noticed when I picked up their spirits, they hadn't been fasting, they hadn't been praying. They hadn't been staying in the room studying. They hadn't been in solitude with God. They wasn't prepared to help win souls up there. There wasn't spiritual at all. A lot of times in my meetings, my people are spiritual. But I noticed as of late, a number of them in the meetings as of late wasn't spiritual at all. Most of their time is spent for the world. Let me say this to you, folks, as I said to a brother just before I came into the church. If your mind is on eating and drinking, your mind is on riding and sleeping, your mind is on visiting and talking and laughing and buying and selling, trading. If your mind is on the natural things of reading papers and books and watching TV, and your mind on jokes, and your mind on that thing that pertains to the flesh as to human relation and those things that thrill and excite the human senses. If your mind is on that, then you're not born again. I mean, let's face it. That is the mind of the world. That is the love of the world. That is the things of the world. And it means you just ain't born again. You didn't get born again. See, and there's no need of trying to go to church. There's no need of trying to give any offering. There's no need to try to have religious ritualistics because you don't have it. You just didn't get it. If you don't have something down on the inside of your heart that's crying for spiritual things, and asking God for spiritual things, you didn't get born again. You may have 10,000 people and one person got the seed of Christ within their heart. But I'm telling you the truth. You say, no, Brother Pike, my hand be raised to heaven. You didn't get born again. If you get born again, you're going to automatically on the inside have a desire for Christ. You're going to have a hunger. You're going to have a thirst. You're going to be longing to hear from heaven and have those things from God, and to know about God and His ways, and what pleases God, and the best way that you can submit yourself to Him. You're going to have such a longing for world evangelism, and for fellowship for people that are loving the Lord, until you can't keep yourself from it night nor day. And if you don't have that, you just didn't get it, that's all. You just didn't get born again. Now you say, well, I believe that I got it. Well, that's okay. That's between you and God. I'm just your pastor. I'm your preacher. I'm here to tell you that you don't have it. If you don't have the hunger and thirst, you don't have it. When you get it, you will have the hunger and thirst. That's why occasionally different ones drift off from Bethlehem that's been here because they never did have it to start with. The man that left a few days ago that went away from here, as far as I know from my heart, I watched him from the first time that he came here. And as far as I know, he never did have it. Never the whole time he was here. Far as I know, his wife never did have it the whole time she was here. And the other woman that left with him, as far as I know, she never did get it the whole time she was here. Though the other woman was a very fine woman as far as reverence and respect and trying to be religious. But I checked the hearts and I never did pick it up in any of them's heart. Not out of the three. And even the father, as to the family, I saw him in a vision come all the way down to the baptismal pool to be baptized and come right up to the place to get baptized and then turn right hurriedly and walk off and was lost. And the man did exactly that. He'd come right down to baptism, talk to him about it, but he was over here in this room. And he was ready to get baptized, come right down to the river to the extent of getting baptized and then turn, left his wife and went off and gotten a double marriage and still in today. See, it's real, folks. This is a real thing. I believe it was Monday coming back from the Cherokees. I told my wife and some other young fella that was in there with me, in the car with me, that is. I said, oh, there's a certain man. God is going to get that man. That was on a Monday. As far as I know, the law got him today. See, God is going to get you when you do wrong. You can't do wrong and get by. And some of you people, I'm telling you, them that are listening to me right now, you're in for serious trouble. You're in for a bad, bad day. And some of you don't have God. You are believers, and I appreciate you. And I try to preach to you, and I want to help you because you are a believer. But you've never been born again. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You've never been born again. The Bible said if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. And you don't have the Spirit of God. And this thing about just being a believer and going to heaven, you might as well forget about that. You say, but I believe, Brother Pike, if you believe you can go to heaven, then that means you're going to have somebody up there with you that you can fellowship, if that's the way it is, that I don't want no fellowship with. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes too. And if a believer's going, that means he'll be up there and you'll be up there with him. And if that be the case, I don't care nothing about being up there because it's bad enough to be here with him. And what the freedom that you'd have in heaven, if the devil had his freedom up there, I think I'd just rather stay down here. I really had. So you see, being a believer doesn't mean you're any better than the devil if you don't go with God to get His Spirit and to honor Him. Doesn't mean you're a bit better than the devil. All right, let's stand together. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'll have you to know I talk about Jesus. And I quote Scripture. I know the devil, he talked about Jesus too, to his back. And he quoted Scripture to his face. That didn't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing. Ain't but one way. Somebody said, well, I fast and I pray and I do this. I know in the Old Testament they said, we fast, we pray, we do all these things. Why is it you don't hear us, Lord? So that don't mean God's going to hear you. Because you fast and pray. Somebody says, but I shout and I speak in tongues. That don't mean nothing. That don't mean a thing in the world. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not born again. You don't have salvation. And if you don't have a hunger and a thirst for spiritual things, it's for sure that you don't have the Holy Ghost. You might have got in the rain, but as the saying, rain, rain everywhere, water, water, and not a drop to drink. You can have a tub full of water sitting by and a man can perish to death. You can take a ham of meat and beat a man to death with it. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we, folks? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it one more time. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Think over what I said, folks. If your mind is natural and if you're carnally minded, then the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. You're going to die. It doesn't matter what the preacher tells you or how many sermons you've heard. If you are carnally minded, which means if you think naturally, you're dead, you're gone. If you think naturally, if that's your trend of thinking through the day, then that means you are not born again. And that means that death is stalking you. Because to think naturally and to keep your mind on natural things means you didn't make the crossing. That's the truth, so help me God. That's the truth. But to be spiritually minded is life. If your mind is on heavenly things and on spiritual things, and you think about spiritual things and heavenly things, and you're interested in your Heavenly Father's will, and you want to be about your Heavenly Father's work, then you are a heavenly child. And the child is known by his doings. Because whatever you think about all day, that's what you're going to do. If you think about working all day, just working, 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 then you'll never make it into the kingdom of God. If you think about just washing the dishes and cleaning the house and digging a hole in the garden and planting a flower, washing a garment, visiting your daughter, visiting your neighbor, going uptown to buy something, riding around in the car, what you're going to buy, what you're going to have, when it's going to be, and thinking about day after tomorrow while you're trying to live today, it means you just ain't got it. It means that you're just not born again. If you think about those natural things, if that's your trend of thinking, it just means you're not born again. But if you think about Jesus when you're working, and you think about Jesus when you're washing the dishes, and you think about Jesus when you're scrubbing the floors, and you think about Jesus when you're planting a flower, and you think about Jesus in the morning, and you think about Jesus at night, then you've got something, folks. And if you've got a hunger and a thirst to know more about God, to take time to pray, to leave off a day with work, to leave off a day of planting a flower, to leave off a day of mopping the floor, to leave off a day of hugging and kissing on one another, you know, a day of riding and buying and burning up gas and spending money and idling around, if you've got a day that you can take all day long with the Lord Jesus, just shut the door and shut everybody out and get in there with the Lord Jesus, then you got something. If you can't, you don't have anything. Let's face it, you don't have anything. You say, Brother Pike, are you telling me the truth? You don't have anything. There ain't no need of kidding yourself. You're natural, you're carnal. You're going to die and you're going to go to hell after you die. People who are going to heaven are spiritual-minded people. And you're not spiritual-minded when all you ever do is something natural. When you're spiritual-minded, you do spiritual things. He said, well, Brother Pike, how can I do that? When Noah built that boat, he built a spiritual boat. Somebody said, well, I think it was natural myself. I know it was a natural boat, but it took a spiritual mind to put it together. It was a spiritual composition. It was a spiritual thing from God. He did that for a spiritual purpose, for a spiritual reason. Not to get rich, not to have money, not to make money. Not just to save himself. He did that at the leadership of the Spirit of God. That was the unction of God. See, you have to be led by His Spirit. The Bible said, as many as are led by His Spirit, they are the sons of God. And you're not led by the Spirit of God when all you do is think about natural things and keep your mind on carnal things. You're not led by the Spirit at all. That's not the leadership of the Spirit. Let's sing another little chorus together, can we? I love you. I'm not scolding. I'm just telling you the truth. If you plan to get into the kingdom of God, you need to do something about it. There was a time at Bethlehem when I had a few spiritual men and a few spiritual women. They were spiritual. I know they were because I knew their daily walk. I knew their talk. I knew their hunger. I knew their thirst. I knew the way they conducted their lives. And they were great, mighty people. It's sad to say some of them lost their footing. Some of them slipped. They've lost their footing. And their mind is now carnal and natural. And their desires natural. And their hunger and thirst after the natural thing. They want to get back to spiritual things. And they love to do spiritual things. And they just love to get back to it. But they don't have any hunger. They don't have any thirst. They killed something. They turned something off. They went contrary to something. And now they've got to get out there, get back in there and really dig the thing out with God before they'll ever have any roots anymore. See, they don't have any thirst for it. Their thirst is for natural things. Their hunger is for natural things. their desires for natural things. What they want to do is natural things. And they just automatically go wherever the natural mind tells them to go. I got a number of them here that talk about following God and hearing God and doing things for God. And they say, God told me to do this. And God told me to do that. When God didn't tell them a thing. They're just as contrary to God as they can be. And violating the Holy Scriptures of God every day concerning their responsibilities to God and man by doing the things that they're doing. They're just like one beating the air. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. They don't even know why they're doing it. Let's sing another chorus together. Sing that song, I Love Him. Can you sing that song with me? I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I love Him. Do you keep His commandments? I love Him. All because that He first loved me and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Oh, the light of that glory, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Let's lift our hands up. Folks, I'm afraid that a number of you are not going to make it. I really am, from my heart. I actually believe if the translation took place tonight, that many of you are listening to me right now wouldn't make it. I really believe that. I believe that from my heart. And yet some of you have been in religion for years. I mean numbers of years. But I'm actually convinced that you wouldn't make it. You know, you can watch a person's life and the Bible said a child is known by the doings. You watch a person's life, watch what they do, watch what they say, watch where they go. And you can find out what their ultimatum in life is and what their goal in life is. And under observation, a lot of times I see people that though they are as religious as anyone I have ever seen, yet I know that they don't have the Spirit of God. Because I know that they don't have any desire for spiritual things. With them, it's just kind of a sporadic sort of a thing. They run in and they hear a little bit here and they hear a little bit over there. And they try to add a little bit to what they know. And that's all there is to it. But when you get what I'm speaking of, it'll be in your heart from early morning till late at night. And it'll be in your heart all night long. And it'll be in your heart when you awake the next morning. And all you'll ever desire to do is to love Him and to please Him and to be like Him and to walk with Him and to do the things that He wants you to do. That's the only desire you'll ever have. And folks, it won't make you lazy. This thing I'm talking about doesn't make you quit your job and get lazy, you know, and take the attitude, well, I can't live for God out yonder. I found out people that can't live for God out yonder, they can't live for God over here either. People that are critical and find faults and do things while they're working on a job is just as dirty-minded when they quit their job. It don't help them one bit. That don't have nothing to do with it. Noah built that boat, worked on it for many years, and was very spiritual-minded. I've never found working on a job where it ever hindered my spiritual mind. I found out I could be just as spiritual on a job as I could anywhere else. I meet devils and demons. I meet people that are sinners. I meet corruption off of the job just like I did on the job. I meet the same thing. It doesn't matter where I go. I still meet them. People are people. And things that, whatever it might be, it's going to be that way. It's not the people, it's you. If you've got the goods on the inside of you, you're going to be straight no matter who you're around. And you're going to be right no matter who you're with. And you're going to be holy and godly in your thoughts and in your mind and in the meditation of your heart day and night. You're just going to be like that because you've got a clean spring of water on the inside. It's a clean spring of water. It isn't going to be bringing forth filthy thoughts. The Bible said, from out of the heart comes forth the evil thoughts of adultery, fornication, lying, cheating, swindling, ungodly thoughts. All of these terrible thoughts, they come forth from out of your heart. When you wash your heart out and you clean your heart out and you get a good spring of water down there, all that stuff is going to be coming out of your heart. Once you get that out, you won't have any problem with it. You take a person as an old critic. It's because they've got an old critical devil in their heart. They get that devil cast out of them. They won't be like that. Somebody says, well, I just can't help because them thoughts come to me. Folks, let me tell you something. There ain't no kind of thought that won't come to you. There ain't no kind of thought. There ain't a thought from being a liar, a murderer, to cutting your mother's throat, to bashing your baby's brains out. There ain't a thought from dirty, filthy, scummy thinking to anything but what it won't come to your mind. Ain't one of them. To blaspheming the Holy Ghost, to speaking against the Holy Ghost, to speaking against God, to evil surmise against your neighbor, to take advantage of your wife and cheat on her in your thoughts, to take advantage of your husband and cheat on him, ain't none of them thoughts but what they'll come to you. All of them's going to come to you. But that don't mean a person got a dirty heart. But I'll tell you one thing, if one of them thoughts, just one of them comes to you, and you give place to it, give a lodging place, or just think on it, or meditate on it, or consider it at all, it means you're just as dirty and filthy as if you'd wallered in a hog waller. Just one time, just one of them, one time, if you give place to it, you're dirty. You need to be born again. You've got a dirty, filthy heart. And when you think on those things and accept those things, you've got a dirty, filthy spirit. And you need to be born again. And not only that, but if worldly thoughts come to you as to eating and drinking and riding and buying and getting gain, having riches and all these other things, and you give place to these things, to let them come into your life, it means that you still ain't born again. You still ain't born again. Jesus said, seek the kingdom. He'd add what you needed. He'd take care of you. For you to meditate in His laws day and night, to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, to cast down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, until every thought, and as the king of old said, even to the intents of the heart. He's laying there on the bed. And he told him, he said, I'm ready to go. He said, I want to go be with Sam.
and I want to go be with Buddy. That's his brothers, Sam, my dad. So I'm ready. As far as he's concerned, he's ready. And I wish to the great God of heaven he was ready. I prayed many a prayer for him. I wished he was. But unless he is different from what I knew of him years ago, he certainly isn't ready. Not at all. Not at all. One thing for sure, he's never been baptized in Jesus' name that I know of. That's one thing that you need to do, folks. And you could feel real good. You could feel like you've made it. You're going to meet God. Everything's all right. And still go to hell just as quick as you close your eyes. Many a person thought they were on their way to heaven and they went to hell. And they're in hell today when they thought they were going to heaven. It's like I said about doing things in this world. You do things in this world because you feel good about it. But that don't make it right. You say, well, I don't feel like there's nothing wrong with it. That ain't got nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter how you feel. It's what God's Word said about it. And same way when you lay down to die, just because you feel good and feel like you're going to heaven, that don't mean you're going to heaven. See, it's what God's Word said about it. If God's Word said a certain thing and you ain't done it, then you don't go to heaven because you're saved by faith in the Word. And the Word says that you've got to perform that faith, that it is a performance in your life as to the proof of the faith being there. It's what the child does. That proves what he believes. So then tonight, and coming to a place to close, if you are an old bottle, I can't put this new wine in. I can't get it into you. If you are an old bottle, somebody says, but I know my granddaddy went to heaven, Brother Pike. Maybe he did. I'm not saying he didn't. I hope mine did. I got no proof of it, and you haven't either. But the thing is, even if he did, you say, well, he got this same old good thing I got, and he went to heaven. He might have went to heaven on what he had. But down this road, so far as you've come, there's a whole lot more required of you than granddaddy. And I can tell you in a minute that what granddaddy had won't take you to heaven. It's what God expects out of you this day that's going to take you to heaven. You're going to have to do what God expects out of you if you ever get to heaven. What your granddaddy had ain't worth 15 cents for you. That's just like me wearing my granddaddy's shoes. My granddaddy's shoes might not fit me. They might be a different size. It might have been fine for him. God's got a plan for every life. And according to the age that you live in, that's what he requires of you. And you can't go to heaven on yesterday's experience. If you can, then I don't understand why it was that all them people back under the law couldn't have gone on to heaven. And Jesus should have left them alone and not troubled him, folks, saying it was old bottles. And that he had some new wine. He should have left off with that, if that be the case. No, it was this way, folks, and it's still this way, that whatever day you're living in, as to the new wine, as to the new things, as to whatever measure that Christ, that God has revealed in your life, that's what he's going to require of you. You can't go back to your parents or grandparents or the old way of life. You can't do that. All right, let's just slip our hands up together and close our eyes tonight. I'm going to ask Vince to come and pray tonight, if you will. While he's coming to pray, I want you to think this over. I keep telling you every night, and this particular night, I'm telling you something because there is a new order that's coming in. There is a new covenant that has come in. There's a new thing that has come in. Tony getting married the other night. They married at the place called the New Covenant. I spoke of this. I spoke of Cherokee. I spoke of all these things and what it had to do with. And there's something new that's happening, folks. And you're missing it. As sure as I stand with my hands on this Bible, you're missing it. Because I don't feel the contact with you. I don't feel the connection with you. I don't feel the spiritual inspiration of the relation to you in the Holy Spirit that should be there. All day long, practically, we've been talking about this new thing. And we've been making some plans and some programs. Even to the extent that David Paul is all tore up. I told some of them that this meeting had to do with that. He's all tore up. He come to me today and asked if he could work with me. Wanted to work with me with the planes and with the ships.
wanted to set a minister's meeting, wanted to work with me. He's tore up. He wants to get these things ironed out in his life and get things straightened out because he knows this is the end of the world and this has to do with the new thing. God doing a new thing. He said, I'll do a new thing. But many of you have lost it, folks. You've lost out. You've cut yourself off. You've lost out. Paid no attention to what I've said, and you've heard the preaching, and you've become calloused. And the Bible said, harden not your heart as they did in the days of the provocation in the wilderness when they provoked God for 40 long years and upset him until he said, I swear that they will not enter into my rest. Therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people, seeing that they did not enter in because of unbelief. He said, let ye beware and fear, lest ye also fail to enter into this wonderful rest of God. I'm going to dedicate the little one tonight, just before Vince dismisses you. Forgotten about that. Bring the little one up. As a matter of fact, this little baby and its dedication here has to do with it. That's what this is about, the new covenant. The little one, I spoke of the little one. And Betty and him were so disturbed. And seemed like the little one, the birth of the little ones was prolonged. I said, there ain't no need to fret over it. I said, it has to do with us going up yonder. We're to go up yonder Wednesday, so I expected the little one that night. And I hadn't told him 2 hours later it was born. And a little cartridge baby, I'd expected it to be born immediately after we got back. And so it was. Last night it was expected. So it was. And this little one has to do with that. Joe and Randy is considering going up to Alaska. As I told Betty, I said, there's no need to chide with them over it. I said, I know that they ought not do it. Don't want them to do it. Wish they wouldn't do it. I said, as far as the natural, they're fixed up real good. I said, but they'll do it anyway. I said, because it has to do with the child catching up to the throne or being caught up to the throne. So Rick called today, and I think he's already got them an apartment and everything waiting for them up there. And I think they've already sold their stuff, furniture, whatever, ready to move out. And, of course, it has to do with the new covenant, the catching up to the throne, and the things that was to happen. I mean, what can you do? God works all things after the counsel of his own will. The little fellow's named Joseph Crest. Beautiful little fellow. And, of course, it's exciting to me because he's my little grandson. And it's good to have a son. It's good to have a son that's grand. I wish all of them were grand. He's an outstanding little feller to me. And to Joe, too. Joe and Randy. They think he's the grandest thing. But anyway, there's a father, and then there's a father that's grand. And it's good to be a grandfather. It's good to be a father. But it's good to be one that's considered to be grand. I wish I could be worthy of that. It's so great, you know, to have the little children. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. All right. We're going to pray for the little one. And while we're praying, we're going to dedicate this little one. And like I said, folks, this night, I know I came in here and you thought it was just another night. You know, I've come in here so many multiplied times and I pick up your spirit. You think, boy, it's just another night. All the excitement's gone now and all them great, exciting revelation days are gone. Now we're back to the old regularity. And night after night that you've come in here like that, it was one of the greatest nights that we ever spent in this cathedral. And tonight was one of those nights. And I noticed that you was just as dry, unconcerned, so far as hunger, thirst. On the very night that you should have been so excited that you could hardly sit in your seat. But nevertheless, you know, whatever. Whatever it is, that's what it is, and nobody can't change it. Okay. So like I told you, I'm sure that some of you have seen little Joseph Crest, and he's a pretty little boy. And the name Joseph Crest goes back, to use the terms, J.C. which has to do with David getting stirred up as to what he's wanting to do for God. And that's going up to the Cherokees. As to, unto us a son is given, child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders. And of his kingdom, the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. For to that kingdom, it is a kingdom that is given as a kingdom forever and ever. This little child represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We came back from up yonder. Floyd, Steve Floyd, began to pass out those caps with the revelation of Jesus Christ on it, which had to do with the membership and the light in the Father's house as to what Tony did when he came up from New Iberia in the meeting that we had there. And as to the two Tonys meeting over in Clark County, as to the marriage at the place called the New Covenant, at the same time of the summit meeting of Reagan and of Jimmy Carter and Reagan, of Gorbachev and Reagan. Well, anyway, there's a lot that could be said, folks. I have wanted for a number of days, even before going to the Carolinas, for a number of days, I have longed for numbers of days to talk to you about the revelation and talk to you about the current events as to the establishment or confirmation of the revelation in our hearts and minds as to the hour, the time and season in which we live. But like Paul said, I've not been able to do it. I've just not been able to find it in your mind and your heart as to hunger and thirst, as to even care to know. Other than as the average person, they'd like to know everything they could know, you know. Precious, wonderful Father of Heaven, Lord, as I pray for little Joseph Chris tonight, I thank you for this baby, and I thank you for the health of this baby. I thank you for Joseph, and I thank you for Randy. And dear wonderful God, I ask in the lovely name of your darling Son, Jesus, Father, even as you gave your Son unto that for the cause of the world, I pray thee, Heavenly Father, Lord, that Joseph and Randy would likewise give their little son as unto the cause of humanity. Father, and the wonderful, wonderful blessings of your love, I ask thee, O God, in the wonderful name of Jesus, to look down from out of heaven. And, O God, receive this little child. Even as you gave it to Joseph and Randy, they give it back unto thee. Lord, that you might bless it. And Father, that when it is hungry, that you might feed it. When it is in need of clothing, O God, that you might clothe it, that you might make its enemies your enemies, O God. And when and wherever they rise up against little Joseph Chris, Father, that you would rise up against them, and that you would prepare his little heart to always be like you and to love you and to want to be like you, Jesus. Father, I pray that you would keep him from fear, from frustration, and from the things, the anxieties of the world in life. Take care of him. Protect his little life. Protect his soul. Give him that eternal life, O God, that comes from heaven. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask it. I ask you to bless Joseph Chris, the father. Bless Randy, the mother. And dear wonderful God, help them. Give them health. Give them strength. Give them an integrity with God. Give them a desire to be like Jesus. Oh God, help them and give them eternal life. And bless them naturally, physically, and spiritually, Father. Take care of them all the days of their life. I ask you to do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing one more chorus. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over. Can you stand with me? Can everybody stand with me? For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest,
And I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Sing it one more time. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore.
All right, lift your hands up with me and close your eyes. I'd like to say again, we're glad to have you here. Folks, you don't know what you're missing by not being spiritual. You can't imagine what you're missing out on. To have the natural things and to keep your mind on natural things and to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world, those things that will perish, you don't have any idea what you're missing out on. But it's still up to you. As to your desires, to what you want to be, as to what you want to do, the child is known by his doings. So is the child according to his doings. And if that is the way it is to be for you, there's nothing that I can do about it. I would love for all of you to go along with us, because we're heading for a place that's beautiful. So beautiful, you need to learn something about it. You don't need to have a carnal concept of God and of heaven. You need to have a spiritual concept, because I tell you, God is a spirit. And all that God does is in the spirit, and the flesh profiteth nothing. As Vince comes to pray with you tonight, I want you to think on these things, because the day is getting darker and darker, and the time is getting closer and closer. So think on these things.